Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's hit the guest line to kick off hour number three, third and final hours. We take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time in style. Let's welcome aboard former Kentucky star Tony Delk, playing the NBA as well. SEC college hoops analyst, NBA TV analyst, has got a book out called Shooter, The Story Behind Double Zeros. Hey, Tony, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, Taz and Moose, thanks for having me on, man. That music was kind of nice, man. I kind of like that.
There you go.
We got a lot of compliments on that, Tony. Yeah, we got our own little hip-hop guy who does a thing for us. Yeah,
that kind of gets you going in the morning, man. You know that wake-up music.
And Tony, listen, that Kentucky, I got it first and foremost, because I was at the Meadowlands that night. I'm a Syracuse grad, right?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. I appreciate that.
Sorry about that.
In the building that night, your team was absolutely loaded. I mean, and you were a great player on that Patino team, Kentucky team. You were absolutely the gasoline to that engine. But you broke my heart that night when you knocked off John Wallace and Syracuse that night, Tony.
Yeah, J-Dub and I, we've been friends since the McDonald's game. So, you know, been a good friend since 1992. Still friends to this day. We probably talk three or four times a year. We have a mutual friend that lives in Louisville that, you know, always kind of bridge the gap between us. But, you know, I was telling someone up the day that Syracuse game might have been the worst game we played all year. You know, it was, you know, you don't see many zones and just how Coach Boeheim, the long athletic guys out there, you know, and you think about, you know, during the 30-plus game that we played, we very seldom saw zones. So that was a game we went back and watched 2 years ago. We had our 20-year reunion with Coach Patino and all the guys in Miami. And we just sat back and watched that game, and I was like, man, you know, we missed so many shots, bad turnovers. But, you know, sometimes, like you said, when you're in a game like that, you know, talent will prevail. And we were fortunate enough that, you know, we all sacrificed, and it was about having good chemistry throughout that season.
Good stuff right there, Tony. So, hey, man, let's talk about what's happening going on now, which just happened the other day, right? The other night, I should say, Villanova. Totally dominant here. I mean, just buzzed through the tournament. I mean, what do you think, man? Break down this Villanova squad.
When I look at this Villanova squad, you know, you talk about five skilled players, and that just lets you know where the game has gone. You know, you very seldom have a inside attack anymore. You know, you can throw the ball down and maybe get, you know, maybe 20, 25 points from that one player. And if that one player is 25, if you got three or four guys on the perimeter shooting threes, that, you know, it kind of neutralizes that. But they were really good defensively. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch them, you know, throughout the season. But as I watched them in the NCAA tournament, they were good on both sides of the ball. And if you're going to be a really a tenacious or great defensive team, you know, you have to get consecutive stops. And they got consecutive stops. And what they did a good job of, they could switch off on bigger guys and they could guard one-on-one. A lot of times when teams can't guard one-on-one, you'll see them play zone. But when you can guard your man, it keeps you out of rotation. And you don't have to worry about, you know, this guy getting off, because I know one of my players is going to shut him down. So, you know, they shot threes. And well coached. We have to give Jay Wright a lot of credit for what he's done the last 3 years. You know, it's just, you know, he's returning, not the one and done guys. You know, he has the juniors and seniors. And when you have juniors and seniors, those are players that you can trust have been in the system. And I know what I'm going to get for them night in and night out.
Hey, but that's really, and you know, Villanova, they won two national championships the last 3 years, Tony, without having a one and done player. What do you make of that rule? And whether or not, certainly anybody who could play in the NBA should be able to go play in the NBA. But do you think the one and done rule works for college basketball? Do you think it works for the 18-year-old high school player?
Not really. If you think about Kentucky fans and myself having stayed 4 years, like Kentucky fans really want to get to know a player. You know, they're all about, like, you know, the guys that stay juniors, the guys that become seniors, you know, they can relate to those guys. Those guys are part of the community. And even with myself, I do so many things back in Kentucky. And a lot of it is based on, you know, just me staying there for 4 years and the fan base to see me go from a freshman to being an All-American as a senior. They saw my growth. When these guys come in, you know, they're only going to be there for like 7 months. You're talking about coming in October, November. The season starts in November. The season's over in April. That's it. You know, these guys are a household name for a few months, and the fans don't really get the chance to know these guys. So it's a little bit different, and I do really think at some point in time, you know, there's going to be a number of guys that are going to be able to go from high school to the pros, but not everyone. You know, you have to know who you are as an individual. And we have to stop. I think the kids have to stop listening to their parents, you know, because these parents think that just because one guy has done it, or, you know, my kid is a top player in the country, he's going to be a one and done. Well, he's going to find himself in the G League, and then he's going to find himself maybe out of the league because it's so competitive. And I don't think those kids understand the grind. So we have to really not educate the kids. We have to educate the parents.
Yeah, no, well said there, Tony. I mean, so that being said, I mean, so you feel like the growth of the player really comes once you go through your freshman, your sophomore, your junior, stay in a whole grind as opposed to just jumping in the fire, playing against real men, big boys. You know what I mean? Like the growth is going to come in that under your college coaching program.
Well, the thing is, you're playing against hungry men. You know, you think about the NBA, it's only 400-plus players in that league. And even when you go to the G League, I mean, you still have men. You have men that are fighting to try to get on the NBA roster. So you're not just going and playing against an All-American team or, you know, the best team in your district or your region. Like, you're going against some guys that are hungry, that's how they feed their family.
Right.
And I don't think 18- and 19-year-old kids are prepared for that yet because they haven't experienced the real world. You know, when you take a 27-year-old guy and it's an 18-year-old guy, that guy is really trying to take care of his family, understand the struggle. He's been out there in the real world. And here's something else, too. He has grown-up bills. When you're 18, 19, you don't have grown-up bills.
Yeah.
We know what grown-up bills are. That means the mortgage, the insurance, you know, the utilities. You got to think about all these bills that are coming, and 18-year-old kids aren't prepared for that. So we almost have to have a system in place where it starts educating the kids and the parents much earlier. You know, I would say go back to like 12 and 13 when these kids are just becoming into themselves but still haven't developed a growth. But if we don't educate the parents and that's the household that the kids live in, you know, we're going to struggle with this.
We're talking to Tony Delk, SEC College Hoops analyst, NBA TV analyst, national championship at Kentucky. And Tony, before we move on, and we'll talk a little NBA with you as well, San Antonio not going to win 50 games this year. A lot of things to get into, the brilliance of LeBron, night in and night out. I want to ask you about Coach Pitino, because, and certainly he has a great relationship with his former players. Obviously now he has been pretty vocal about his innocence and how everything ended in Louisville and wants to coach again. Do you think Rick Pitino will coach in college basketball again? And do you think he deserves to?
You know, I talked to Coach a few months ago, and I know he's very tasked. He still loves the game and, you know, definitely want to get back in the game. I don't know if it's on a collegiate level. I just think Coach wants to be given opportunity. And by far the best coach that I ever played for, you know, and that's not a knock against the guys I played for in the NBA or my high school coach. But Coach Pitino taught me so much about the game from the mental aspect, you know, and just being physically opposing to whoever you're playing against, being in great shape, just understand the game from an IQ standpoint. I mean, he is one of the most knowledgeable coaches that's in college basketball. Even if you think about just how he was able to not only take his players and make those guys pro, he has really good assistant coaches that became head coaches, you know. And I think, you know, during his time at Louisville, you know, he had a chance to hire a lot of people and give those people opportunities to be able to take care of their family. I just think the last couple of years, you know, he hired the wrong guy. You know, he hired the wrong guys, you know, guys that didn't have his back. When you think about the loyalty, I thought he had a lot of that early on. And then there were guys that were just coming in, basically doing their time, and they were looking to get to the next job. And Coach might have took his hands off the steering wheel. But it doesn't mean he doesn't know basketball. He's not passionate about what he does. So coaches, you know, I'm just waiting for somebody just to step up and give an opportunity. I know there's been a couple of different talks about different programs, and it's going to have to be the right situation for him. And whatever AD or program hires him, they're getting a really, really good coach, a great coach, not a good coach.
All right, so, Tony, let's shift gears for a second, dude. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference in the NBA, man. How wide open is this thing?
You know what? What makes it wide open is that we just don't know about Kyrie Irving right now, you know. And, you know, any time you have to go on the night, this late in the season, I mean, it's to me, like I said, it's something where, you know, it's a serious problem going on, you know, and for him just to say, you know, I have to have a surgery that, you know, that's like the last resort. You know, you're going to do all the rehab and the medication, but when it comes to someone cutting on you, it's like that's the last resort, and it's the same knee, you know, and just having injuries with that team. These injuries late in the season have really affected, like, probably how I feel about the Eastern Conference. And with LeBron, I trust him. I've seen him get to the finals, you know, Eastern Conference final as well as the finals. And, you know, and that team is getting better, you know, but when the ball is in his hand, you know, they're going to be a team that's going to be destined with. And I just don't really think Toronto can win at Quicken Loans. You know, I know LeBron can go to Toronto and get a win, but I don't think they can come to Cleveland to get a win. So it still puts the Cleveland Cavaliers in the driver's seat, you know, to be the team to get to the finals and go against either Houston. I really like Houston or Golden State. You know, I want to see those guys in the West Conference Finals, and I think it's going to be an electrifying final just to have, you know, those two teams in the West Conference Finals. And then I just see Cleveland coming out the East. I'd be shocked if they don't. If something happens maybe to LeBron, but other than that, I still think Cleveland is a favorite in the East.
Tony, LeBron, best player you've ever seen?
You know, I came along that Michael Jordan era. You know, I grew up being a MJ fan, you know, from wearing his shoes to actually having to play against him. And he was a different monster. Not to say LeBron is not. And I think when I look at scoring, LeBron has become one of the, and could be the all-time leading scorer. You know, he has a chance to, you know, I look at A+, you know, and he's A- right now, right behind Mike. You know, if there's anyone that's ever been closer to Michael Jordan, and just look at the record he's breaking, still breaking right now. Because I looked at the double figure scoring record, which I never saw that ever going. I was certain record you look at and said that record never going to be broken. That was one of them, and he just slowly crept up to that record. But it also says a lot about how he takes care of his body. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he just, when we've seen him get injuries, he'll come back and play like the next day, you know. So he's this figure, this supposed Greek goddess figure that when we see him, you know, we see a guy that could go down as one of the, if not, you know, he's right behind Michael Jordan. I mean, I can't even say it. You know, I can't put him ahead of Michael Jordan right now. I can't do it.
So I don't blame him. So, Tony, speaking on the, you know, like a LeBron, like his physique, his physicality, and how his body is a machine at his age, he's still able to go. You know, I think a lot of folks, you know, maybe they watch these megastars in the NBA or these great college players. They think that these guys just roll out of bed and just put on some, you know, some sneakers and a tank top and go out there and shoot. Man, explain how important training is, nutrition, going to get treatment and stuff like that to keep you playing.
Well, you know what? I think this generation have really taken it to a whole other level. I had a chance to be out in Vegas last summer when LeBron was working out from having, you know, just yoga. You know, you take yoga, you have your strength and conditioning guy that travels with him on the road. So, you know, I think a lot of what goes on with bodies is definitely, you know, you got to put the right food into your body, but also just the stretching, you know, and making sure that you're not beating your body up. I think with myself and so many guys, as we love the game, and, you know, we had, once the season ended, like, I didn't have any hobbies, so I was still play, you know, pickup ball pretty much all summer, you know. So during that whole time, you know, my body's still taking a beating. So what I see guys do now in the summertime, they just do the maintenance. They'll come in and do their work, whether it's by themselves or with a friend, so there's no contact. So your body's not getting beat up and it's prepared for the season. But also, you know, you look at LeBron, you know, he didn't go through the college grind. Like MJ went through the college grind. Like a lot of these great players went through the college grind. So you look at, you know, he would probably, let's say, you know, 3 years removed from, you know, being in his 15th year, be his 12th year, because he went through two or three. Maybe he would have definitely been a one and done. So he only would have done 1 year of college. But, you know, that college grind that MJ went through, you know, we saw a lot of great players go through, was totally different because coaches controlled everything. And I think now it's totally different, where it's so much freedom and the game changed. You know, the physicality went out the game. So that also allow guys to go out there and be more efficient.
Tony, we got your thoughts on the Eastern Conference. What about out west? You know, San Antonio is not going to win 50 games for the first time since 99, Tony. I mean, it's been a while. You look at how good Houston's been this year, 63 victories. Golden State, it hasn't been the same Warrior team. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. What about the complexion of that Western Conference?
Well, you got to look at James Harden and CP3. Now, neither one of those guys has been in the West Conference Finals, you know. And when it's a game seven and it's a meaningful game, you know, I don't know which player is going to show up. Because I think what's happened over the last couple of years that James Harden going into those, you know, those semis, he just ran out of gas. And I thought they did a great job bringing CP3 in, which would relieve some of that pressure. And they played, you know, the best basketball all year. They've been consistent. But you know, like I know, that the playoffs is a whole different kind of monster. You know, when I have to play a team five times, six times, seven times, we can lock on what you do. We can lock in on what you do well. So all those things that you do during the regular season, it changes. So you have to have a different mindset. So as good as you are in the regular season, the intensity level goes through to a whole other level in the playoffs. And you have to beat Golden State, especially if everyone is healthy. You know, it's really going to depend on if Steph Curry comes back and he's healthy. But Durant is able to carry a team, you know, and just having him as a backup, you know, Steph is not 100% is not bad. So the East, the West is going to be, it's going to come down to Houston, it's going to come down to Golden State. Now, with San Antonio, not having Kawhi was a huge difference than how they played basketball. Although LaMarcus Aldridge has had a really good season, if you bring in Kawhi, you probably have another 10 to 15 more wins than they get, say, 50 wins this season.
Yeah, Tony, what do you make of that everything with Leonard down in San Antonio?
It's interesting, you know, because they're a franchise that's been known for keeping everything in the locker room. You know, nothing really ever escapes the locker room. It's always guys that, you know, are in pop system. They don't really talk a whole lot. It's all about the system and doing things the right way. And I just think Kawhi, you know, when he came back from his injury, he felt like that the doctors and the people who basically diagnosed him as being okay and ready to play, he felt like they let him down. So he lost some trust there. I can kind of see that player losing trust. So he had to go out and get a second opinion. And for them, nobody really goes outside the family, you know, to get any services. So, you know, you had a disconnect between the franchise, the organization, and Kawhi's team. So right now, how do we bridge this gap between those two? And Kawhi just want to come back and play. You know, we very seldom hear him say anything, but if he's griping, that means something's going on.
Tony, final one for you. You got a book out. And for our younger fans out there, younger college fans, NBA fans, that don't remember Tony Delka, Kentucky, wasn't that long ago, one of the great college shooters that you'll ever see, Tony. You were a tremendous shooter, a great shooter in the NBA as well.
Thanks.
Give us a little feel. You know, we get the book. What exactly, for the Kentucky fan, for the basketball, what exactly are you giving? Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, it's going to be my life story of growing up in a small town in rural Tennessee, Brownsville, Tennessee, about 8,000 to 10,000 people. Just the grind, the discipline, the structure that, you know, I had within my family, how the community got behind me. Having great teammates to sacrifice, you know, in order for me to achieve success, and just the hard work that went along with just, you know, just being out in the backyard and not really having another hobby, you know, just falling in love with basketball, and then just going through some adversity, you know, not going to Kentucky my first year after about four or five games, you know, getting ready to transfer, and because I wasn't playing, I wasn't happy, and, you know, and just sticking it out, you know, and I mean, you know, 3 years later becoming a MOP and All-American. So it's more about, you know, what it takes to get to the next level, but also, you know, just the different levels that I think sometimes, you know, kids kind of skip. Kids want to go from middle school to, okay, now I want to be an NBA player. But in between all that, there's so many different layers and so many different people that need to be in your life, the right people, making the right decisions, you know, making sure that your friends are role models, not that you are doing what your friends are doing. And then just having a great, for me, it was having just a great family, you know, and a great community that backed me. And also, you know, have my second annual AAU tournament coming up in Lexington, Tournament of Champions, which would be grades 3 through 6, girls and boys. I'm excited about this weekend.
That's
and
cool,
I also have my wine out called Lorenzo's.
What kind of wine? What, a little red?
We have Cabernet, and that's both in Bladen bourbon barrel.
How about a little Bordeaux? Whoa. There's no Bordeaux in the Bordeaux? Hey, no.
You would love this wine, and we've actually right now I'm getting ready to change the label and the capsule, but it's been sold out for like 2 months. So once again, that Kentucky community have supported me in all my endeavors. So you know, I'm very appreciative of all the great fans that's been in Kentucky. And like I said, that's what happens when you stay 4 years.
Exactly.
Tony, from your lips to God, here's what's good. Stay 4 years out Kentucky, win a national championship. They'll support you. They'll support you from now until kingdom come.
And beat Cuse.
It's real, man. It's real. It is real. So anyway, you can know, if you want to know what I'm doing, TLDuckEnterprises.com is how you find me. TLDuckEnterprises.com. You'll see my basketball clinic. When my book is coming out, you'll see the wine. You'll see all the things that I'm doing.
Well, Tony, we appreciate the
time this morning. Thanks, man.
We really do. Continued success. We'll be watching on the TV, and we'll do it again real soon. All right, Tone?
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.